This is God's word of grace, that if you repent and believe in God's redeeming mercy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Lord, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible readings today, the first reading is 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 13. Apostle Peter says, "Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, or do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that it is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. Maintain a good conscience, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Psalter is Psalm number 66, and it is on page 785, because we use part 2. It's on page 785. And we use response 1. Bless our God, O peoples, and let the sound of praise be heard. God has preserved us among the living and kept our feet from stumbling. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You led us into desert. You laid a burden upon your back. You let sickness furrow our brow. We pass through fire and water. You have planting. But our God, how glorious is your name over all the earth. The gospel reading is Gospel of John chapter 14 from verse 15. John 14, 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, our Rock, our Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate Mother's Day, and this is always a kind of a challenge for me to to celebrate something which is not directly coming from the church, like Memorial Day, or in this case, Mother's Day. Because we all want to do justice to the Bible, the biblical message, and we all want to do justice to our mothers. And you know, to try to achieve 100% twice is kind of impossible, but the good Lord helped me in a very meaningful way, because the Bible passage actually helped me remember my first argument with my own mother. I can remember back. I don't know if I was 4 years old or 5 years old, but I had an argument with my mother. And my mother was using almost the same words Jesus is using here in the text. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you do what you are told. And I, the reason why I remember that argument, because I was frustrated. You know, I was four. Of course, I loved my mother. That for a four-year-old, it's impossible not to love his mother. And of course, I loved my mother. She was my mom. But I didn't understand why she had to drag that ugly concept of obedience into this argument. I felt it's unfair to put those two things together. And because I felt, I love you, Mom, but let me do whatever I want to do. And of course, that was the time when I developed a very strange habit of climbing on the roof of houses. From age 6-ish, I had this nasty habit of climbing on rooftops. And somehow my parents didn't like that very much, because they said it's a 4-story building, 5-story building. It's even quite long to hit the ground. That was very scary. But I loved it. And I didn't really understand why my mom had to put together this whole, if you love me, you do what you are told. And I'm glad that you are laughing. I'm glad that you are smiling, because you got the point. So the question is, what about Jesus? Because Jesus says the same thing. You can say that, oh Jesus, I love you, but I want to do what I want to do, regardless of anything else, regardless how my actions make you feel. Because this is our attitude. This is the child living in ourselves. Child driven by self-will. So, it's difficult, and time after time I bump into this problem. This is a ongoing issue, and this is my old gripe about words in the church. We use phrases, and we don't necessarily know the meaning of those words. For example, do we know what love is? Because you have a definition for love, I have a definition for love, and Jesus has a definition for love. And we assume that you and I and Jesus, we mean the same thing when we talk about love. And that is very likely this is not the case. So we come to the issue of faith, and when we, faith of our mothers, faith of our fathers, what is the faith of our fathers? What is the faith of our mothers? What is faith? And the problem is with faith that we adopted a definition from the world. We are in the church, and we, in theory, know what those key words mean. At the same time, every once in a while, we embrace some definition from the outside. And we had adopted, a definition for faith. Faith is a faith. If you have faith, it means you admit and acknowledge the existence of God. And there is nowhere in the Bible. The Bible's definition is almost the opposite. The Bible describes to us faith as a three-legged stool. Have you ever seen a three-legged stool? Wow. It's a special three-legged stool. Because one leg is knowledge. The other leg is trust. And the third leg is obedience. So faith is not believing the impossible. Is not accepting the incredible. Because it comes from knowledge. If you don't know God, I cannot make you believe in God. If you don't know God, I cannot make you trust in God. Knowledge, trust, obedience. You need to know God. You need to trust in God. And you need to be obedient to God. We need to be obedient to God. So knowledge, trust, and obedience. It's not that if you believe that God exists, that's just not enough. And actually, Apostle James uses a phrase. And the phrase is almost silly, but he raises a question. If you believe that God exists, fine. What do you think? Do demons believe in the existence of God? And we know that they know the existence of, they are aware of the existence of God. So are they creatures of faith? I don't think so. So we have this whole complexity of knowledge, trust, obedience, which is faith, and it probably goes against to some degree what we think about faith, what we want to believe about faith, how we define faith. But Jesus says, faith includes obedience. Faith includes obedience. But obedience is the last thing. When it comes to the order of things, knowledge is first. You cannot trust the person, and trust is the second, but you cannot trust the person whom you don't know. You need to know a person to say, I trust him or I don't trust him. I trust her or I don't trust her. So you need to know the person. You need to know God. You need to know Jesus to be able to say, I trust God or I don't trust God. And of course, if you know God, if you trust God, obedience is logical. But it doesn't happen overnight. Because you remember when you, probably your mother told you something like that. Has it ever happened to you, or you just simply don't remember? Oh, I cannot read your faces. You are good. I cannot read your faces. If you love me, you do what you are told. So, and that is a difficult intellectual exercise, because I had to kind of swallow the hard fact that my mom knew better what was good for me than I knew what was good for me. Because even as a 4-year-old, I had a conviction that I know better what is best for me. Do you have this delusion that you know better what's good for you? Because Jesus says it's not true. Jesus says God knows better. And sometimes it is an easy lesson. Sometimes it's not so much. Sometimes it's anything but. By the end of the day, we all go to bed with the prayer on our lips saying, Heavenly Father, you know what's best for me. I trust you with everything. So this is why it's important, because Jesus is teaching his disciples, and Jesus is teaching about something very important, but it's not necessarily logical. It's not necessarily logical. It doesn't make you, oh, I got it. Jesus is communicating values and priorities. And values and priorities together equal identity. And there is a question. Who are you? Who are you if not a collection of values? And I won't go any deeper this morning. I won't go any deeper this morning. But this is still a question. Still a question. We are more than our bodies, which are growing. We are more than our intellect, which is what it is. Improving or not improving, you know that about yourself. So the question is, who are we, if not a set of values, a set of priorities? What is our identity, if not this? And actually, Apostle Paul says a very important statement, that our identity is Christ. So even if we are tempted to believe that church is a bunch of people who believe that God exists somewhere, out there, this is the church. Apostle Paul says, no, the church is a group of people chosen by God whose identity is Christ. The values are coming from Jesus. The priorities are coming from Jesus. And this is the church. This is the church. And one would say, Gezo, it's not reasonable. It's not reasonable. And I wouldn't say, no, you are wrong. But I would rather say the opposite. If you consider every or any key teaching of the Bible, if you take a closer look on any of the key teaching of Jesus Christ, nothing is reasonable. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, an alternative reality where you need to be conformed to that new world where God rules. Is it reasonable? Maybe yes, maybe no. For a lot of people, it's not. When Jesus says, they talked about the great commandments, we learned about the kingdom of God in Sunday school. We learned about the great commandments. Love your God with all your, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Is it reasonable? Is it reasonable? The reasonable thing to love myself more than anything else, more than anyone else. So if somebody wants to move you out of this self-loving paradigm, it's not reasonable. Or even the key teaching of the Bible, like repentance. The problem is, repentance, the whole concept of repentance, is under attack from the left and now from the right too. Praise the Lord. Repentance was a fairly innocent issue. Not anymore. Jesus was teaching about radical love and forgiveness. We learned it from Sunday school. Learned it from Sunday school. For a lot of people, it's not reasonable. They would say, love and forgive. Maybe tolerate. Love your enemies, says Jesus. Maybe tolerate. If you live in the West, if you live in the East, they will say, let's try to kill them first, then we see if you can love them. Okay, thank you. One person was smiling. It means a lot to me. Even if just one person, but look, if you're a teacher, they tell you that if there is one kid in the class understands what you are teaching, you are okay. You are in the clear. So and humility and service and that we learn those things in the Sunday school. So if you take a closer look at any of the teachings of Jesus, you can call each and all of them not reasonable. But if you stop and think about your mothers, about our mothers, if you think of your mother, why are they so important for us? Because we learned the concept of self-sacrifice. We learned the concept of self-sacrifice from them. And that changed our lives. And the question is self-sacrifice something reasonable? It is not. It is not. But self-sacrifice is not reasonable, but changes lives. And this is the cross of Jesus. It's not reasonable. But the self-sacrifice of God Himself has the power of transforming lives. And this is the Jesus we celebrate every Sunday, and this is the mother's love we celebrate today. I said all this to you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.